What happened, my headlights went out on me. They just quit working. And so as you're driving down the road, you're faced with, what are you going to do? It's at nighttime. It's 10 years ago. Cell tower reception was not that great. I did have a cell phone, but I knew I wasn't going to get a reception in this area. And you just can't see. And you think, how are we going to get home? And what do you do? Who do you call? I wasn't in a spot where I was going to get to call anybody anytime soon. I could pull over to the side of the road and wait for a cop to pull up, I guess. But you're kind of in that spot, and you're thinking, all these thoughts are running through your mind, they're racing through your mind, you're trying to think, what am I going to do? But in front of me, there was another car, and it had Lawrence County plates on it. And I thought to myself, the best thing to do is to just get behind him and follow him home. And he'll give me enough light to be able to see as I go home. And so that's what I did. I just got behind him, and he went straight down Highway 64, and I lived just off of it a little ways. And so as I followed him on, I was able to make my way home. We've all probably been in a situation before where you were in darkness and you desperately needed some light. Maybe you were out camping and it gets dark on you all of a sudden. You're trying to figure out what to do next and you can't see and you're looking for the flashlight and the lantern. Or maybe it's one of those times when the power goes out and it's at nighttime and you can't see anything. And you can't find your way around, and you're stumbling around, and you're hitting your foot on stuff, and you didn't realize was there, and you get frustrated, and you just want a light to be able to see. And spiritually, we've all been in a spot where we've been in darkness before, where we didn't know what we needed to do, and we needed someone to shine a light and to help us see what we needed to do. And so now I just want to share with you a passage that I've read, I don't know how many times, because I've read the Sermon on the Mount. It's very well known, and I think if you've been in any Bible class, chances are you've covered the Sermon on the Mount at some point in time. If you've tried to read through the New Testament, you probably got through Matthew chapter 5 before you quit, so you read it through that several times. So it's a passage most of us are familiar with, but when I was reading this back in May, something hit me for the first time that I hadn't really ever considered before. It's like a lot of times when you read Scripture, you just pick up things that you never picked up for some reason. And it's usually the insignificant things, but when you read them, suddenly you think in your mind, how have I missed this point? And so we're going to read through this here, and I just want to share with you something that we learned and really shaped our mission trip this year. And we're going to start in verse 14, and where it says this here: "You are the light of the world. You're like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket, but instead put it on a stand and let it shine for all. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." When I read this, for the first time ever, I picked up on the fact that it says basically that we need to let our good deeds shine for all to see. It's nothing that I hadn't read 100 times, but for some reason when I read that, it just stuck out to me of like, but I thought we weren't supposed to brag about what we've done. I thought we weren't supposed to let people see our good works, because I guess all my life I grew up in a Matthew 6 thought process of how we condemned the Pharisees because they prayed in public and they gave in public and they did all these things to let everybody see. And so in my mind, I always thought that the way Christians were supposed to act is we were supposed to let our light shine in private, I guess. And we were supposed to somehow do good things, but we were never to let anyone know that we were doing good things. And Jesus says, no, I want you to go out and I want you to do good things. And I want everyone to see what you do. Now that's kind of shocked me. But then Jesus tells us why. And it's in the next section. He says, the reason we do this is so that our Father in heaven is glorified. So that when people see us doing good deeds, our Heavenly Father is going to be praised. Where the Pharisees, all the praise was going towards them, were to do good works for the purpose that other people will see what we're doing and that God will be praised because of it. Now that just blew my mind. I don't know why. Most of you are sitting here thinking, Rusty, I saw that when I was in third grade. I wouldn't doubt most of you didn't. I just never got it because I always focused so much on Matthew 6, I didn't really focus on this section. And Jesus is basically saying, I want you out in your community. I want you out with people. I want you out in your neighborhoods. I want you going out and purposely seeking out to do good works. And I want you to do it so that when people see it, they're going to praise God. Now, when we started to sit out on our mission trip this year, One of the things that we told the churches that we were going to is we want to help you get out into your community. Because we want you to be able to, I want people when we leave, we want people to walk away and say, the church has been here and done something. And Kirk was great. He helped us get in contact with his dad, and they're trying to rebuild a church in Lebanon Junction, Kentucky. And so when we went to them and started proposing this idea, I said, we want to do things in your community to help people know the church is still there. We know the church has kind of dwindled in size and that they've fallen on hard times, and economics have made people move away and some people have just stopped coming to church. We want to help you get out to where everyone in town knows the Lebanon Junction Church of Christ is alive and well. It's a smaller town. It's probably about 1,800 people. And so they did a wonderful job. They took care of everything we could ever imagine being taken care of logistically wise. And we went out, and basically what we did was they asked the people in the city, who in this town needs help? And the city began to get a list. I think they gave them a pretty long list. And they said, well, here's some things we can do. And so simple things from cutting somebody's yard who had been disabled and didn't have anyone to cut their grass. Helping someone put down a new floor in their house that they had already gotten the stuff for, but they needed someone who could help them go inside and do it. And Virgil was so great about coming up and bringing a crew in Johnsey to work on that. Just repainting someone's house and making it look a lot better for the neighbors. And painting the wall that was in town that we didn't know why we were repainting, but they felt was important to repaint. If you looked at the wall, you would think, why does that wall need painting? But they thought it was important, so we repainted the wall. And the neat thing that happened while we were there, and because even as we were doing some of those things, is someone came up to us and stopped. And they said, hey, I've been over here. There's a person who owned a store there in town. They said, well, I've been noticing what you guys have been doing. One of the houses they were working on was on the main drag. Another one was kind of on the main street of the downtown section, if you call that downtown, I guess. They were painting a house on one section, and we were painting a wall. And they said, I've seen you guys out. And what are you guys doing? And that's the purpose of doing good works before people. So they naturally want to ask, what are you guys doing? And so some of our people were very great in saying, well, we're with the Lebanon Junction Church of Christ. And what we're doing is we're going out and we're helping people this week. And we're trying to show people the love of Christ by the works that we're doing. And she said, well, listen, I think that's wonderful. And she invited us over. She said, can I go over here to the store? And I want to buy you something to drink because I know it's hot out here today. And she went on to just talk to us for about 10 minutes and was just very impressed with the fact that the church was out doing something. And I know in my heart that that woman knows who was there, what we were doing, and she went around and told other people the same thing. And that was the purpose of Matthew chapter 5, is as you go out and do good works so that everyone can see it, people are going to be noticing it. And when they notice it, they're going to go and they're going to tell their friends and their family, and they're going to say, look at what the church is doing. God is active in this community. Now this year we did things a little different. We didn't stay in one spot. After we left Kentucky, we traveled up the road about 2 hours to Cincinnati. And basically because we needed a place to stop halfway between there and Michigan. And we went over and cooked breakfast or brunch for the people of the Ronald McDonald House. And at the place in Cincinnati, they house 120 families at the Ronald McDonald House in Cincinnati. And they just do a marvelous work there. And you have people who've been in the hospital, have families and people in the hospital for years. We talked to one person who had someone there who had been there for 3 years. And they had lived there at the house. And basically, they rely on groups and a lot of times churches who will come in and basically provide meals. And it was amazing as we sit there, people who would come in and tell you, thank you so much. You don't realize how much this helps us. You don't realize how much of a stress you're taking off because you're providing a meal for us. And our guys did a great job. We've never cooked for 120 people before. I think Ron has, but I don't know that any of us had cooked for a group that big. And it's a little bit of a, like, are we going to get all this done at times? And it's almost like watching Food Network on one of these challenge shows, but with not so good chefs. We couldn't get the food to cook, and we're all running around, and we're trying to be nice because, you know, we're like, we're doing this here for Jesus. We can't be yelling at each other. And so you're trying to pull it all together, but the bacon wasn't cooking, and this here wasn't cooking. But everybody just held it together, and we did good, and we did a great thing. And as we did it, the people were just coming up and wanting to know, where are you from? Why are you doing this? What are you here? And when we were there, one lady came and talked to us, and it was kind of a sad thing. She said, who are you guys and why are you here cooking for us? Because we're just kind of curious what groups are. And someone said, well, we're from Great Mirror Church of Christ and we're on our mission trip. And as we passed from one spot to the next, we stopped in here because we wanted to cook for you. And she looked at it and said, "The churches of Christ? You guys do this type of stuff? I've never known of a Church of Christ do anything in the community before." We were a little taken aback by that. But I thought, what a sad commentary that in some neighborhoods, the church isn't known for letting their light shine. They're known for staying inside of a building. And we were used it as an opportunity to tell her, well, we do things for people, and we want to help people. And that's the importance of letting our light shine. Because there are some people who they don't see Jesus out in the community. And they don't see Jesus alive in their communities. They hear people meeting in church buildings, and they see buildings, but they don't see people using their hands and feet for Jesus. As we traveled up to Michigan, we worked with the Pinkerton Center for Blind Children. And at this Center for Blind Children, it's a you have to be blind, of course. But you also have to have another disability. You'd have to have autism, cerebral palsy, or something else, as well as being blind. And we went up there, and the church there had contacted them. The building, they're probably about 5 miles apart. And so the church there is making an effort to try to get more out into the community. And they thought this would be a great place for us to get involved in. And so as we went there, we were impressed. As you can see some of the pictures of the rooms, everything was immaculately done. It was a beautiful facility. And the things that they do are just, we could spend days telling you about it. If you're a teacher, you would be in paradise just to see how they have things set up for the children to be able to be educated and do things, even though they have so many disabilities in their life. And as we were there, we got started to doing things, and we had hired a contractor to come and work with us to build a fence. And then they had several other jobs as well to do, but I got to work with some of the guys on the fence. And so we're out there, and his name was Woody. And one of the first things we did is we got there and we started out, and we unloaded some of the supplies. And then I've always got a camera in my hand, so I'm taking some of the pictures. And Woody made the comment, said, "Well, you need to make sure you get those pictures taken." I said, "Yeah." I didn't think anything about it. Then after we got done kind of with the first initial spot, we said, "Well, we're going to need to get this, this, and this." And so I'm taking a few pictures, and we started digging a few post holes, and we didn't have any concrete. Now, I thought that was kind of odd, because he had all the materials there, but he didn't have any concrete. And how are you going to set the post without the concrete? And so we said, "Well, do we need to go get concrete, I guess?" And he's like, "Oh, y'all going to stay here for a while?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." And he said, "Hmm." He said, "Well, most people, when they come, they just come and get their picture taken, and they leave." He said, "I didn't know y'all planned on staying and working." He said, "I've never had anyone actually come and do this here." I said, "I've helped the center occasionally, and we've never had a group come here and actually work." They come and they do a little bit, and in 30 minutes, they're gone. And we got to go, and I got to ride with Woody to go pick up some concrete, and as we talked, he became very inquisitive about us. "Well, who are you? Well, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I never heard of this before. So you're a group of young people, and you come here to do work, and y'all got money and y'all paid money to come on this trip, and you're giving us the money to do this." And he kept asking questions. He said, "I've just never heard of anything like this." He said, "I just can't even imagine." He said, "Do churches do this?" And I said, "Well, yeah, it's pretty common." He said, "I've lived here in Detroit all my life, and I've never heard of a church who does this." I said, "Well, we do." And he said, "You know, my son would enjoy something like this. He's searching right now for..." He said, I grew up in one faith, but he's searching, and this sounds like something he'd be interested in doing. And he just kept going on and on, and the people who were working at the center kept going on like, "You just don't understand. No one would ever come and do these type things." We weeded a playground that was a pretty big area, and they were like, you just don't understand. We could have never got someone to come and weed this playground for us. But we did millers for them, and they said those millers will raise about $400,000 for them. It's about 20,000 letters. We just stuffed envelopes for them. Cleaned up toys and different things around, and they just kept saying, "You don't understand. We just can't get people to come in and do this. And we just are so impressed that the church is willing to come over here and help us." And they were blown away by it. We went back the next day. Woody brought a son. I was kind of shocked by that. But he said, "I'm telling you," he said, I wish that there are other places that were doing stuff like this. And he talked a good bit to the preacher there at Allen Park and to one of the elders, and just kept expressing his thanks. And said, "You know what, this is what it should be like." He said, "You know, if a church was like this, I might even consider going more often." He said, "I only go about once a year." He said, "I've just never heard of anything like this." When I think about this passage, what Jesus is telling us is we need to be a people who let our light shine in front of the world, not for personal praise, but so that people will get to know that Jesus loves them, He cares about them, that He loves them, and that He's active and alive through His people. And when they see Jesus in us, that they'll want to come to know Him more and more. That's the purpose of this. And when I think about this passage, I just want us to think about some of the things that we do every day. Because I know in this church, a lot of us do good works all the time because you're just good people. I've been around you enough. I know we just do good things all the time. But I think what happens a lot of times is we forget the purpose behind doing good works. What will happen is you'll do something nice for someone and they'll say, "Thank you so much for doing that, Larry. I just appreciate you doing that." And you'll say, "Well, you're welcome." And we walk off. But we miss an opportunity because sometimes we don't tell them why we're doing it. And the point of this passage is the reason you do good works is to point people to Jesus. That's the purpose. And so here's what I want to encourage you with. As you go about this week and really with our life, but especially this week, I encourage you to make a special effort. As you're about doing good works because you're doing them, you do something nice for somebody, you cut someone's grass, you go over and visit someone, you take some food to somebody, anything that you do, when you're doing something that's just genuinely nice for someone, they say thank you. Don't just say, "Well, you're welcome." Take time to point them to Jesus. And say, "Well, you know what? Jesus loves us, and He gives us good gifts, and we should give them to others." Or you can just tell them, "You know, the reason I did this," or you know, they can say, "Hey, thank you, Rusty, for doing X," and you can just pause and say, "Can I tell you why I did this for you today? I did this because of Jesus. I did this because I want to share His love with you." I don't care if they remember the church. Sometimes we need to be reminded that Jesus loves us too. But we can do this every day when you're doing anything. I know some of you go around buying coats. And people will ask you, "Why are you buying so many coats on clearance?" You can always pause and say, "Well, I'm doing it because we love God. And God loves people. And God wants people to stay warm. And as a church, we're making it a point to do this." I know a lot of people are out buying back-to-school supplies. And some of you are buying back-to-school supplies, but you don't have any kids or grandkids going back to school. You're buying them for giveaway day. And the cashier is going to say something to you like, "So you're getting ready for school?" Don't just kind of nod your head and say yes. Just say, "Well, not really. But I'm buying things for kids because God loves some kids. And I know somebody's not going to have what they need." And as a church, we're trying to buy for people who don't have what they need. A lot of times as Christians, I think we do a lot of good things because we just go about doing them. And it gets so habit-forming for us that we forget to stop and to tell people why we're doing it. And without intentionally, we just forget to do it. And the purpose of all this is to point people to Jesus. And I want you to imagine what it would be like if everybody in the church that's here tonight, if you purposely went out and did one thing for someone, just that was just good. Maybe you went over and cut your neighbor's grass. Or maybe you took somebody some food who wasn't feeling too well. Or maybe you bought some extra school supplies and gave them to a teacher. Or maybe you just did something as you go around. You see something that needs to be done and you do it for someone. And when they tell you thank you, you tell them, "You don't have to thank me. You can thank God. Because He just put it on my heart to do something good for you today. And I just want to share His love to you today." Imagine what a difference it would make. Imagine what would happen when our community begins to say there's something different about the people at Graymere because it seems like they're doing good things because they love Jesus. That sounds like the person in the Bible that I would be interested in. You know, Gandhi always said, "I love your Christ. I do not like your Christians." And the reason he said that was because he said, "When I read the Bible, I can buy into Jesus." Because he was somebody who let his light shine and pointed people to God. But unfortunately, so many times as Christians, we forget to let our light shine. And when we do, we forget to point them to Jesus. So I just want to encourage us to go out purposefully. Everybody in here, we can do this. You're probably, most of you already were planning on doing something anyway this week. But when you go and do something for somebody, purposefully let them know why. I'm doing it because of Jesus. And I want to share His love with you. And make it a lifestyle of pointing people to Jesus. And not just nodding and saying, thanks, I appreciate that. And imagine the difference the world can make. And what a difference we can make in this community when people know why we're doing good works for people. Tonight, we want to encourage you that if you're not a Christian, that Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He gave His life for you. And He wants to become your Savior, if you'll just let Him. It could be that you're here tonight and you just have a spiritual need or an emotional need or even a physical need, and you need prayers for the church. And there's nothing we'd love to do more than sit down and talk to God with you on your behalf. We encourage you, if you have any needs, to come as we stand, we sing this song.